if all else fails.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Treasury Department is telling General Motors, get ready for a bankruptcy filing. The New York Times says the administration wants GM to have those preparations done by June 1st. The Times says the bankruptcy prep is a backup plan in case GM can't reach cost-cutting agreements with its union and its bondholders. Publicly, the company says it hopes to restructure out of court. You may have already heard about yesterday's U.S. Navy rescue of a cargo ship captain. Richard Phillips was being held by Somali pirates, three of whom were killed in the rescue. The dramatic violence raises the stakes in the busy Indian Ocean shipping lane, and that means the cost of doing business on the seas is also going up. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
A London think tank estimates that Somali pirates extorted more than $30 million in ransom money last year. The total cost of the shipping industry is likely to be much higher. Insurance premiums have been rising fast. According to some reports, covering a vessel to sail through the Gulf of Aden has gone up 10 times in recent years. Some large shipping companies have decided to avoid the Gulf altogether and go the long way around the southern tip of Africa. But that is expensive, says Graham Gibbon Brooks, a maritime security analyst.
It takes about 15 days or so. It depends on, obviously, how fast the ship is going. But it takes more time, and therefore the goods at the other end are that much more expensive because of the overhead.
It's reckoned that sending one oil tanker from Saudi Arabia to the US by that route would add $3.5 million to its annual fuel bill. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Last week, the Dow closed up at 8,083. Today, European stock markets are on vacation. Some Asian markets are too. The Chinese benchmark did gain 3% on some signs of increased bank lending. American banks report quarterly earnings this week. Wells Fargo started things off by announcing record profits, so it should be interesting this week to watch Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. Oh, and speaking of Citigroup, man, tonight should have been so exciting for that company. The New York Mets play their first regular season game at the brand new $850 million Citi Field, a sporting monument to that glorious banking empire. Yeah, well, don't expect to see Citigroup executives waving on the Jumbotron tonight. Here's Joel Rose.
In better times, Citigroup signed a $400 million naming deal for the park. That was before the company took $45 billion in bailout funds from the U.S. government. And a Citigroup CEO, Vikram Pandit, told members of Congress a few months ago.
Let me be clear with the committee. I get the new reality, and I will make sure Citi gets it as well.
The new reality means that Pandit won't be throwing out the ceremonial first pitch at Citi Field. Company officials say he won't even attend the game. Instead, Citigroup executives are inviting community groups, including the Jackie Robinson Foundation's college scholarship recipients, to watch the game from the company's luxury boxes on the aptly named Empire level. Another Mets fan who will not be attending tonight's game is disgraced financier Bernie Madoff. The trustee liquidating Madoff's assets auctioned off his seats behind home plate for $7,500, with the proceeds going to repay Madoff's victims. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
They say one industry that thrives in a recession is entertainment, because people need to escape. For the computer gaming business, that has been somewhat true. But as Mitchell Hartman reports from the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, consumers are finding ways to get their gaming on the cheap.
You are ace pilot Rick Rocket, and you've just defeated the evil alien armada, but then all the massive damage you caused destroyed the space-time continuum, so now time is going in reverse.
Matt Gilgenbach wishes time was running backward right now. He demoed his new computer game at a trade show in San Francisco last month. It's called Retrograde, and it's won plenty of awards, but he says now's not the ideal time for a launch.
Now, with the economy the way the market is, it's definitely scary.
The gaming industry looks strong on paper. It grew 15% in 2008, but Dan Ackerman of CNET says that may not continue.
A couple months from now, when we ask people to invest in new hardware, maybe buy a PlayStation 3 to play Blu-ray movies or to play a big new game that's coming out like God of War 3, that's when we'll see if the game industry really is recession-proof.
Ackerman says game software is also making consumers blanch. A new action game with top-notch graphics can cost $60 a pop.
The guys who are doing really well right now are guys who do casual games. These are smaller games. You usually download them either online or through your game console, and they're a lot cheaper. They're maybe $5, $10, maybe $20.
Developers of casual games are on a roll. At Big Fish Games in Seattle, CEO Jeremy Lewis says business has been doubling every year, and it spiked even more in September when the recession started to bite.
Through customer testimonials, we know those consumers who have unfortunately lost their jobs and are looking for other jobs are turning to Big Fish Games for a source of entertainment and relaxation and a reprieve.
Lewis says they're online on their own time and playing his low-cost games, maybe to get a break from job searching. The company's nonviolent titles appeal especially to middle-aged women who, Lewis says, come to the company's website to chat about solving mysteries, finding hidden objects, and other things.
Very much like they would on a social network like Facebook, about any of the things that might be on their mind, including child support, their job loss.
Maybe they should consider game design. Big Fish, which has 375 employees, is looking to increase its workforce by 10%. Not bad in a recession. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, Amazon.com says it was just a glitch that caused gay and lesbian-themed books to lose their sales ranking on the site. Books without rankings included classics by James Baldwin and Gore Vidal. Amazon says it's being fixed. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Hope you have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.